Hey everyone, my name is Joel Radecki and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, some are summit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing in any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, Psalms 112. Psalm 112, if you don't have a Bible, I want to encourage you to share with someone sitting next to you, or you can take out your phone, you can download a Bible app or the River Church app. There's a Bible feature there. I want to encourage you and ask you to follow along in the Bible. If you're a guest, I want to welcome you. Thank you for being here. If you're watching online, certainly want to welcome you as well. My name is Josh Combs. I'm the lead pastor of the River. I'm so thankful that you are here today. Psalm 112, we'll begin in verse 1 in just a moment. The psalm was originally written in Hebrew, and it is an acrostic, a line, each line of the psalm beginning with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So beginning in verse 1, the author says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments." Psalm begins, the very first psalm, begins with these words, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." This is a beatitude of sorts, similar to what Jesus would say in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed is the man." And this is, of course, not limited to just men. This is people. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman. And the word blessed could be translated happy, joyful, at peace. Is the man or the person. And the writer here of this psalm says that person, happy is the man or the person who fears the Lord. Now, one of the reasons I think we object when we hear this phrase, fear the Lord, is because throughout the Bible, the scripture tells us not to fear. Now, each time it tells us not to fear, it is circumstances. Don't fear circumstances, or don't fear the future. Don't fear people. The Bible never says don't fear God. It says quite the opposite. Over and over again, Proverbs would say the fear of the Lord is the very beginning of wisdom. So we are unable to have wisdom if we do not first fear the Lord. Now, what does it mean to fear the Lord? It is, one writer describes it, a worshiping submission to God. Another writer says the fear of the Lord is openness to him, eagerness to please him, humility to be instructed by him. To me, when I think about the fear of the Lord, it means to step back, to stand still, and to stand in awe of the power and majesty of God. It's realizing who God is and who we are. Several weeks ago, on a trip into the mountains, I was quoting over and over again Psalm 8:3, where David says, "When I look at the heavens," meaning when I look at the sky, the stars, the sun, the moon. David says, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" What is man? so small, so fragile, and the scope of just mountains. And then when you begin to think of the scope of the sun and the moon and the stars and the galaxy, the universe, it's extraordinary. Psalm 112 says, the man will be happy, the woman will be happy, first who fears the Lord. Jesus even says this in Matthew 10, if you just want to jot it down in your notes very quickly. John chapter 10, verse number 26, Jesus says, so have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. So Jesus is saying, don't fear the people, the religious leaders, the people in power who could persecute you. Jesus says, what I tell you in the dark, say in the light, what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him, meaning God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Psalm 112 says, blessed is the man, woman, the person who first fears the Lord, has a right reverence and awe of God. I remember years ago sitting in a counseling session with a couple on the brink of not just divorce, but disaster. And the man was saying, I don't know what to do. And he began to express to me what was happening in their marriage. And there are many times where I sit in my office and someone says something to me where it is way out of my depth, way above my pay grade, and I am silently praying to God, God, I have no idea what to say, no idea what to do. Please help me. The man continued to explain the story over and over again. And finally, I just looked at his wife and I just said, do you fear the Lord? The behavior in their marriage, her behavior was just abominable. I said, do you have any fear of the Lord? And I'll never forget her pause. And then she looked me square in the face and said, not really. And I watched over the next year a disaster like I had never seen before. Blessed is the home, the person, the man, the woman who fears the Lord. Secondly, blessed is the person who greatly delights in his commandments. Hold your spot in Psalms. Go over to the right, just a few books, to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Jeremiah said, your words were found, and I ate them. So he's being slightly poetic. He's not saying pull pages out of your Bible and start having a snack. Okay, he's being very poetic here. He's saying, I found your words, and I digested them. I took them in, and your words became to me a joy. And here's the word, a delight, the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Now go back to Psalm 112. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is the person who fears the Lord. Blessed is the person who delights, who greatly delights in his commandments, in the commandments of God, in the word of God. One writer said it this way, to this man, to this person, God's word is as fascinating as are his works to the naturalist. There's a blessing to you and to me in our lives when we greatly delight in the scripture, when we're spending time in the Word. Hold your spot in Psalm 112 and just go to the right to Psalm 119. Now, if you're ever reading through Psalms and you're reading a psalm a day, that's fantastic. I love it. Carve out a few more minutes for Psalm 119. It's a doozy. It's fantastic, but it's a long one. Psalm 119, verse number 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? If you're sitting here, you're a young man or a young woman, you ought to know this verse. And not just to know this verse, but to meditate on it, think about it, and then live it out. How can you keep your way pure? Verse 9, the answer to the question, by guarding it according to your word, to God's word. Verse number 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Look over at verse number 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And then a little later in the chapter, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God, when I don't know where to go, when I don't know what the next step is, your word is a light. It brings clarity to my life. Let's go back to Psalm 112. This is a blessed person. This is a happy, joyful, at peace person. One who fears the Lord and one who greatly delights in the commandments of God. Spends time in the word of God. When I spend time coaching younger pastors and those who will preach, I'm very serious about, for me, the first words that I want coming out of my mouth when I stand up here to preach are, let's open our Bibles. Here's why. Because I do not want you to think, and I don't want me to think for any second, that you are here to hear me or my thoughts or my insights. We're here to open God's word because, as the scripture said, it is alive and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts right through all the facades, all the distractions, all of the lies, all of the pretenses, all of the masks that we put on. And the word of God is the only thing that's able to cut right to the core of who you and I are. Sometimes folks will come up to me after a sermon and say, Pastor, I don't know how you knew what I was going through, but you spoke right to me. And I just want to tell you right now, that is not me even remotely. That is the Holy Spirit of God speaking through his word to your heart. And I got to tell you, it thrills me. It is a great delight for my soul. So blessed is the man. Happy. Who first fears the Lord, delights in his commandments. Verse 2, his offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. So when you, as a father, you as a mother, you as a man, you as a woman, decide, come to that understanding of who God is, and you're going to fear the Lord, you're going to delight, you're going to eat the words of God, you're going to spend time in the scripture, there is a generational blessing that comes from that. Some of you have received that generational blessing from your mother or your father. Some of you are starting fresh. You're starting brand new. And you want to change the direction of your family. You want to change the course of your family tree. There it is in verse 1. Fear the Lord, delight in his words. Have that be a true part of your home, and that will change the next generation. That will bless the next generation. Verse 3 says, wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. And I believe what God is promising here is more than just material blessing. He's promising that in your home will be the things that money cannot buy. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." When there is peace in your home, joy, tranquility, rest, when your home isn't a war zone, how good and pleasant it is. Now, the reverse is also true. How horrible it is when siblings, parents, children are at war with each other. What a nightmare. That's why so many people are constantly trying to get away on vacation. That's why people are constantly working endless hours. They don't want to go home because it's a nightmare. What's the Bible say? Fear the Lord. Delight in his commandments. It will have a generational impact. And there's a blessing that God will give. There are things that money cannot buy that will begin to be part of your, verse 3, your house. Verse 4, light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. Now, I just want you to pause there. Psalm 112 and 111 are like twins. And I'd encourage you this afternoon to read Psalm 111 and then Psalm 112 and then to start to compare the two. Again, verse 4, the end of verse 4, he is gracious, merciful, and righteous. Look back at Psalm 111, verse 4. This is speaking of God. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. And in verse 3, and his righteousness endures forever. So Psalm 111 is referring to who God is, and Psalm 112 is referring to the person, the man or the woman who fears the Lord and delights in the commandments of God. I want you to see this. The way that God operates begins to be the way you operate. The way God feels is the way you begin to feel. The way that God thinks, if we can say it that way, is the way that you begin to think. God is righteous, God is gracious, God is merciful, and the person who fears the Lord, delights in his word, will begin to be a gracious, merciful, and righteous person. That's how the word of God transforms us. That's how the Bible washes us and cleanses us and makes us think and process in a different and new way. Verse 5, it is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. So this begins with a person, a man or a woman, old, young, it doesn't matter. This begins with a young man or young woman who says, I'm going to fear the Lord. I'm going to greatly delight in his commandments. You are beginning right now to build a legacy that will impact generations to come. There are blessings that only God can give, and you will find yourself beginning to be more gracious, more merciful, more righteous, and then the way you interact with other people will change. It will go well with you. You'll begin to find yourself being generous. You'll begin to find yourself lending to others, and you'll conduct your affairs with justice. Meaning the way you operate in business, the way you sell something, will be with justice. It'll be fair. It'll be truthful. You'll find yourself being generous. One writer said it this way. He said, a greedy man is not a godly man. There's a generosity. Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord. Just heads up, he has some deep pockets. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. This is the outward expression with people. Generosity, mercy, justice, grace. That is the outward expression of what the Word of God does in our hearts. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to go there really quickly. James speaks about this. James chapter 2. James asks this question. This is the half-brother of Jesus. He says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Someone needs a coat, and you have an extra. Someone needs food, and we have extra. And we see that someone has that need, and we go, 'God bless you.'" James is saying, what good is that? You were the conduit for which God wanted to bless that person, and you were like, "I have faith, but God bless you, brother. I know you need a coat. I have 15 in my closet, but you know, I probably need those." James says, what's the point of faith then? Verse 17, "So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But if someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works,' James says, 'Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" It's not that the works were going to get someone to heaven. It's that the works were a demonstration that there was a real transformation on the inside. So back to Psalm 112. Fearing the Lord, delighting in his commandments, that's going to have a generational impact. Verse 3, it will have an immediate impact on your home, and it will begin to transform the way you interact with people. Graciousness, merciful, righteous, just in your work, generous with people. Look at verse 6. "For the righteous will never be moved." So this blessed person who fears the Lord and greatly delights in his commandments, that person will never be moved, and he will be remembered forever. And then verse 7, "He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm." And I would just encourage you to highlight, circle, star this next phrase: trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. Verse 8, "His heart is steady. He will not be afraid." Now, each year, I have a little bit of a Bible reading rhythm in my life. January the 1st, I read Ecclesiastes. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. I got a couple friends who love it, and we talk about it occasionally. It's just this great wisdom book. And then I try to read a psalm every day. Sometimes I miss a day, and I'll pair them up, and sometimes they're short, so I'll pair them up. But I try to read the psalms. When I came to Psalm 112, just a few weeks ago, verse 7 is the one I underlined and highlighted because that's not me. I want it to be me, but I, just a confession, I live most every day waiting for bad news. Now, I think that's called a pessimist. I prefer realist. But this is, I would say, what being a pastor has done to me. My shoulders, when I'm stressed, just keep rising. And then I go to the chiropractor and I say, "Help me, I can't walk," right? And I get stressed because I wake up every day, just to be very blunt with you, saying, "Who's sick? Who died? Who's in crisis? What's happening in the finances at the church? What $30,000 air conditioning unit at one of the buildings broke?" That's just every day, all day in my life. And I love my job, but sometimes I grab my phone going, "What happened?" Because I know that some bad news is going to come. What the passage is saying to me is, Josh, fear the Lord, delight in his commandments, and all of this stuff will be put into proper perspective. It doesn't change, verse 7, that bad news happens. It doesn't change, back to verse 4, some times of darkness. some times of confusion, some times of frustration, some times where people you love are sick, or sometimes where people you love are passing away. Those are hard things. We all face that bad news. What the Bible is not saying, verse 7, you won't get bad news. It says to the heart of the person who fears the Lord and greatly delights in his word, when bad news comes, you won't be afraid. You'll be firm. Look at the opposite of that. Afraid, or your heart will be firm. And here's why. Not because you have deep pockets, or not because you have strong shoulders, or not because you have mental and emotional stamina and you can make it through. It's you won't be afraid. Your heart will be firm because you've taken your heart and you've handed it to God and said, God, I know I can trust you with this. I know you can hold me. That's why Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Because when you and I are strong, when we're flying high, when things are successful, you know who we forget about? God. And so what God has to do is he has to bring us down to some crisis and we go, oh, I'm sorry, God, I forgot about you. And we're forced to, by circumstances, to trust God. What is the man, the woman who fears the Lord and delights in his commandments? Bad news is going to come. Times of darkness are going to come. But you and I don't have to be afraid. Our hearts don't have to be shaken. We can trust the Lord. We can trust the Lord. Verse 8, his heart is steady. He will not be afraid. The psalmist says, until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. Oh, do we have some adversaries. 1 Peter 5 says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It's a horrifying reality to me to know that in this moment, the devil, although unseen, is prowling around this room seeking someone to devour. Someone whose mind or heart is distracted. The Bible says, be sober, think clearly, be vigilant, always be on the watch, on the lookout. We have an adversary. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of death being an adversary, our great enemy. So Psalm 112 says, of the man who fears the Lord, delights in his commandments, he will look in triumph on his adversaries. Do you know where we can look, where we can see the triumph of our adversaries? It is at the cross of Jesus Christ. That is where God so loved the whole world that he gave his only son. And Jesus comes and he dies on the cross. And in doing so, John says he destroyed the works of the devil. And so there is Jesus defeating what Satan had thought he had won. But Jesus is defeating our great adversary. He is overcoming sin. He is paying the penalty for sin. Jesus is dying. Jesus is rising from the dead. And in doing so, he defeats our adversaries. He triumphs over our enemies. Man, that is the good news. And maybe you're here and you know Christ. You're a follower of Jesus. You can look to the cross and see your victory. You can see the triumph. That's why Paul says, oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? Jesus conquered at the cross and in the resurrection. And the Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. That's the promise. Now, verse 9. Simply restates kind of the thesis, the main idea. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures. I want you to take note of this word forever. His horn is exalted. Horn is just kind of a symbolic way of saying strength. But look at verse 10 in contrast. The wicked man sees it. Sees the man who fears the Lord, sees the woman who fears the Lord, delights in God's commandments. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. I hope you'll see the contrast between that word forever in verse 9 and the word perish in verse 10. The Bible says it so clearly. Jesus says, John 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe you are sitting here and you do not know the Lord. You know church, you know religion, you know some Bible words, but you have never come to faith in Jesus. It doesn't matter if you keep your eyes open or your eyes closed, you can call on the name of the Lord and the Bible says you will be saved. And can I tell you what you will do when you come to know the Lord? Verse 1, you will praise the Lord. You will praise the Lord. In a moment, I'm going to pray. The band is going to come lead us in a song. They are not here for your entertainment. They are here to lead us in doing exactly what Psalm 112, verse 1 says, to praise the Lord, to exalt the Lord, to tell the Lord how awesome he is and what he has done, how meaningful and wonderful it is to you. Let's pray together.